All right. So here we are in spring practice for Penn State football. We're going to take this in a couple ways. We're going to get this and a little bit of basketball in as well. Greg, it's one of those rites of spring where you can bring in all the recruits. They can see spring practice, be around them. You can talk to the parents. You can't do anything right now like that. So how's it playing out for Penn State on that front?
Yeah, it's one of the things I'll be curious to hear James Franklin hopefully talk about when he meets the media tonight. But look, I mean, I think the big recruiting takeaway right now is we know that obviously at this time last year, doing the recruiting game over Zoom and other electronic forms of communication was new to everyone and certainly new to Penn State and its coaching staff and the recruiting department and everything else. So they've learned so much over the last 365 days that you can't replicate what it's like to be on campus and see these things
That's
in
right.
person, but certainly there are a lot of ways to bring that in-person experience to kids who aren't there, obviously not in the same way, but in a way that at least lets you get something out of the fact that, you know, as you mentioned, the coronavirus-related dead period still is ongoing until May 31, so you're not going to have that typical time to get out on the road and see kids, which you would during the spring, and obviously they're not coming to campus, so... You know, you've seen a lot of kids starting to schedule visits for June. The official word hasn't come yet that dead period's going to finally expire on May 31 so that June 1st can be the first day for visits and things like that. And they still have to work out some details about what camps can look like and visits and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, what you will be able to do in Pennsylvania, maybe you might be able to do differently in other parts of the country. So they're going to have to decide, too, if there's going to be uniform rules with conferences and the NCAA and things like that. So there's a lot to figure out. But, you know, I think a lot of kids at this point are saying they can see the light at the end of the tunnel, even though there's not official word just yet or a clear plan just yet, one's in the works. And so it's been a little bit slow and a little bit unlike most springs, and certainly not like last spring where we saw just a rush of commitments in April and May as things were really shut down and we didn't know what was going to happen or when. So not quite as hectic, but that means the summer will be as hectic as they come, Steve. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Is it your opinion that if everything continues on the trend it is, it may be going up, uptick in a few areas right now, but for the most part, it's trended way down. That May 31st is finally the end of this. I mean, in terms of the dead period, and obviously not the end of the pandemic.
Sure, yeah. No, I have a hard time believing that so many schools and so many prospects are willing to go out on the proverbial limb and put graphics out there about visits scheduled and official visits and things like that if there wasn't a pretty good feeling behind the scenes that this was going to be it. Look, I know that it was supposed to originally expire April 15, I think it was. That might not be quite right, but it was in that ballpark.
Right.
And, you know, at that point in time, it seemed like a lot of people felt like, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. And now it's the complete opposite where the feeling is, yeah, that's definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of when the official word comes in. So, you know, I know it was, I believe Yahoo Sports, a couple other outlets were reporting not too terribly long ago that they were trying to figure out what to do with the typical July dead period. Would that go away? Would it be half a dead period, half an evaluation or a quiet period, things like that. So again, they have plenty to figure out here, but I think it goes without saying that coaches, players, families, all that will enjoy the opportunity to see each other face to face and get to do all of the things that you do when you visit a place like Penn State sooner rather than later here as we inch towards June.
All right. I'll get to the June, July, August part in a moment. In your opinion, what kind of foundation has Penn State laid for 22 and for 23 based on what they've been able to work through so far?
Yeah, I mean, 22 and 23, obviously 22 is the one that's off to a roaring start, 8 commitments. It's in the top 5. It might even be, I'm sorry, it's in the top 10. It may even be top 5. I know it kind of changes by the day based on commitments with how close to sort of top 10 is lumped together in the 247 sports composite rankings. But yeah, I mean, you can't really sneeze at what Penn State has done so far in this cycle. You know, 2 quarterbacks, 4 Pennsylvania guys, They're loaded up on offense. They have playmakers at a number of spots on that side of the ball. They think they have their two quarterbacks for the future, which, you know, in the year or the age of the transfer portal, obviously, if you can get two guys you think are going to come in and compete, you might lose one of them, but guess what? You have a shot at hitting with one of them too, of course. Right. So, you know, they're very happy, I'm sure, with what they've been able to do so far. And I think the other key, Steve, is that when you look at this group of players, you don't really see guys who you feel like are more likely to decommit than not. You know, will they lose some guys or a guy when visits start again and other schools can wow recruits on campus just like Penn State's going to be able to? Sure, it's a possibility. And let's be honest, the math of the way decommitments work anymore basically tells you that you're almost certain to lose at least one guy that you have committed to you. But, you know, this group, again, it seems like it's pretty tight-knit. And and while the odds say you're likely to lose a guy, I don't know if they will. So I think that's another key to this, too. It's not like there's a guy who stands out like a sore thumb in terms of, man, as soon as he can go take visits again, he's going to and he's going to be gone. So it's a possibility. But, you know, when you talk about a foundation of a class, you need your early guys to be the ones who are going to be your rocks when it comes to being on campus and recruiting uncommitted guys, taking those unofficial visits where you come up through the day or for the weekend to be with other kids who are coming in on paid visits. And when you have four PA guys, an Ohio guy, I mean, obviously Drew Shelton's down in Florida, but, you know, Jerry Cross probably isn't flying in the four-star tight end from Wisconsin for too many unofficial visits, but you have a lot of guys who can drive to Penn State, drive to State College for those weekends, and that can't be underestimated when it comes to being able to put all of your, you know, all of your recruiting tools out there and in use when these visits start up again.
Which then brings us to the next part. James did dangle the idea in his initial spring press conference that, hey, look, they'll at least be looking to see if there is a quarterback to transfer in. Just put a little more experience in there because, you know, right now they have four quarterbacks here. That includes Mason Stahl. Your thoughts on that? Because obviously you're keeping an eye on the portal all the time. Your thoughts on that, and how important might spring practice be to somebody thinking about entering the portal from another program?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. And I think you have to look no further than the situation Penn State had a couple of years ago with Tommy Stevens. And he obviously was banged up during that spring practice, so it may not be an exact apples-to-apples comparison of what we might see elsewhere. But, you know, a guy who comes in as not a co-starter, but as a 1A and 1B, maybe not a 1 and 2 necessarily, sees the writing on the wall that he is going to be number 2 and that guy who he was kind of neck and neck with is going to inch ahead and keep the job, and he's going to look around. And, you know, the question you always have to ask yourself is when you're looking at these transfer portal options is, well, why couldn't he beat out the guy that's on campus at his old school? And is that guy what would that guy who he was beat out by, what would he do on our campus? And I think you always have to ask yourself that. But at the same time, if you're not looking for a starter, if you come through spring practice and you say, you know what, we're in really good shape here with what we have, and we'll bring someone in with Sean Clifford to compete. But like with Tommy Stevens down at Mississippi State, if he doesn't come in and compete and win the job, what is he going to do for us otherwise? You know, maybe Penn State finds a guy like that. You mentioned a veteran guy with some experience, and I don't know. That might be tougher to come by because that guy might be looking for somewhere he's more likely than not to get on the field with NFL draft aspirations in mind. So maybe you get a middle class guy, but, you know, someone who's maybe been on his campus 2 years, 3 years at most and has a few years left, though, either because of a red shirt or the extra NCAA year, or maybe he plans to go to graduate school, whatever. Maybe that's the route they go. So it's not easy to find these guys in the portal. Obviously, the good ones have a huge market, and that's the other problem, too. But, yeah, I don't think there's any question that they have to keep their eye out and keep evaluating because they're in a really unique spot right now where they have one guy who's played a lot and three guys, two on scholarship, who haven't played at all. And when you talk about Christian Ayew, you know, he didn't have a senior season in high school, so he didn't even have that to continue his development. So, yeah, it's a pretty precarious spot in that room right now, numbers-wise. And it's one you would love to clear up through the transfer portal to get you through this year until, you know, those 222 guys arrive at this time next year.
What kind of organization? Now, let's go back to a previous answer because I said I was going to revisit it. Here's the question that goes with a previous answer you get as we revisit. What kind of organization is it going to take because you could have a plethora of visits all at once because players are going to have to get as many visits in as possible across the board So what kind of organization is it going to take if you happen to have a weekend where there are a lot of visits?
Yeah, well, it's going to be, I think the first thing they're going to have to do is figure out how many people can they have on campus at any given time based on both capacity limits at the last building, Kaluba Hall, different things like that. You know, yeah, that's going to be the first decider, no question about it. And I think that, you know, Beaver Stadium is to your advantage at that point, because if you bring guys up and you have to kind of do some outdoor work or do some indoor work, things like that, kind of trade guys back and forth almost, I think that could be an option and a way to work around that. So we'll see. That's just guessing. I don't know, but it would make sense. So, the organization, though, you're right, it's going to be extraordinary. It always is on these visit weekends. I mean, you know, if you're around the football facilities at any point when kids are on campus, it's a sea of, not a sea necessarily, but there's a lot of golf carts buzzing around and a lot of people walking around. And you really have to, as a recruiting staff, and that's why what makes Andy Frank and his team so good is they have a plan for every single one
they
of those kids.
Good.
And it's personalized and it's, you know, top notch. And so the question will just be, I think, more than anything, who is allowed where based on, you know, what are the rules related to vaccinated versus not vaccinated? What are the rules based on capacity limits indoor and outdoor, things like that? I think those will be your biggest challenges. And once Penn State gets those answers, like I said, I'm sure that the team that James Franklin has assembled, that's led by Andy Frank, will put all those pieces in place to maximize. Again, what is obviously one of Penn State's biggest recruiting tools, having kids and their families on campus to see State College, see the football facilities and everything that they have to offer.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk soon.